Mr. President.
What do you know?
Nothing much. I had, our release is out. Thing I discussed with you Saturday about the meeting this weekend. And I had lunch with Bill today, and he and I and Fred Deming had a talk about the meeting later this weekend. Then as he was leaving, I had a brief chat with him, and I think you may be getting a call, or Marvin may be getting a call. I told him I thought it'd be desirable for you two to get together and have a talk, and one or the other of you ought to take the initiative, and I suspect he will. I rather think his inclination will be to want to step out gracefully and easily with as little fuss as possible, but I think he's still of two minds about it. I've pressed him pretty hard on this international picture.
What'd he say?
Oh, not very much. I mean, this was as he was leaving. I waited till we were walking out before I told him that he's getting this needle apparently from people about the speech, and he thinks that the rumors about his leaving are coming from places on the Hill, or places that want to get rid of him, and you think it's coming from the Federal Reserve Board, I told him, and I don't know where it's coming from, but in any event, it's nothing any of us had anything to do with.
Does he, you think he had anything to do with?
No, sir, I don't.
He says he didn't?
Yes, sir, he looks me right square in the eye and says that very firmly.
I need to find out from Kay.
Sir?
I need to find out from Kay.
No, my standing over there is just polite, Mr. President. Polite. I'm not on very good terms with her. You know, she never has been a particular buddy of mine. I've never been a particular buddy of hers. We've just always been kind of, just a polite, friendly relationship. But I, you know, it could be somebody over, could be some of the newer members over there, for that matter.
I would think it would have to come from somebody connected to the board, or they wouldn't think it's very
authentic.
Authentic. And close to him.
That's right. I had a good talk with Marvin and Bob today, and I've given them a memorandum on that one point we discussed Saturday that you were interested in, and we'll see what they do with it. I think everything else is going well. I'm trying to schedule my debt limit hearings for the 26th, which will be, they'll have the budget in advance copy form sometime on Monday, and that'll be on late Monday, I guess. That'll be on Thursday the 26th, so they'll have 2 days to chew it over. Only thing that I've run across there is Joe Bowman was talking to Mills about the Republican attack on the defense expenditure estimates, and I don't know whether you heard him yesterday or not, but Mel Laird indicated that the Ways and Means Committee was likely to call Bob McNamara on the debt limit hearings. And Joe was trying to kind of probe that a little bit. I think this is something Johnny Burns is probably going to make a pitch to do with Wilbur as a price of cooperation. I've talked to Bob, talked to him Sunday a week ago, that he and I and Charlie ought to get our ducks in a row together as to just exactly what we say on that subject, because this is obviously going to be major point one. I think it has no place at all in the debt limit hearing. I don't think it's appropriate there. I think Wilbur ought to not pull it in, and that's the position I'm going to take. I don't know whether they'll filibuster or not, but if they do, the blood's on their head.
I thought Russell was a little rough on us yesterday.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy with that. Although I think, let me put it this way, I think the press, of course, reported it in the hardest possible fashion. I think what he was saying still left the room for favorable approval, both by him and by the committee. That emphasis on after the House has acted and after the case has been made and after we've tried our hand at the budget, I don't consider the door closed at all, as far as he's concerned. I'm going to count on him for some help.
They raised this question that he hadn't been talked to and didn't know anything about it and all this kind of stuff. We asked Wilbur to come to the ranch with us when we talked about taxes and budgets and so forth.
You talked to him twice, didn't you?
And Wilbur said he couldn't because he had his grandchildren coming. I talked to him on the phone about it. Then we asked him to come here, and they did, and we sent him home in a plane in Jetstar on the 13th.
And that's right.
Wilbur came in on the 12th and met that afternoon, and we again met again on the 13th from 2:30 till 5:45, I saw this afternoon. So we had about 3 hours.
What day was that,
2:30? On December the 13th.
That was a long day meeting, and then he came over here and spent about 3 or 4 hours the next day with Joe and Stan Suri. I was in Paris at the time, but they told me he came over and they talked about the whole economic picture and the financial picture and the debt limit and so forth. So
at that time, I told him that meeting, my general feeling was we ought to probably go about 7% on corporations and 5 on individuals, that we ought to try to raise about $5 billion that way. Maybe 6. Earlier, McNamara had recommended 10 and 7. But as this thing looked like it's cooling off a little bit, we all came down some, and we finally got to 6. But I felt, I didn't talk to him on the week of the budget when I wrote my message. Having talked to him December the 12th and 13th, I thought I'd gotten all the information they had to give me on their position. I thought it'd just be lobbying to do more.
I think you had.
And I thought they'd interpret it as lobbying because Wilbur said, well, he'd have to look at it and see. We'd have to take a look at the hearings. He wouldn't say he's against it, but he wouldn't say he's for it. And Russell said how he felt. So.
Yeah. Well, I went down to see Wilbur on January the 3rd and talked to him at considerable length about the debt limit problem. And of course, he opened the subject, and I played it for cool because I didn't want to indicate any more than you'd indicated to him. But he said, well, I think it's going to be, 10 and 7 or 10 and 5, something of that sort. And I didn't comment, but I got no impression from him during that discussion the week before your message that he would be in the least bit surprised. I rather got the contrary impression.
Paper's trying to play it up, yeah. And I think, though, that in your handling then the question or anything, that you ought to take the position that when we had the leadership at the ranch in the early part of December, that we asked Mr. Mills if he could come, and he couldn't come at that time, so we agreed on a later date, and we met him December the 12th, and again December the 13th, and then he came over to Treasury December the 14th, and that was the middle of the month, and then Christmas intervened, and we just didn't think that there's any other information he had he wanted to give us. If he had, he could have given it to us. We asked for any ideas, any suggestions, any recommendations, and gave their thoughts. That's as much as I know to do.
Oh, I think...
I thought Russell should have said that yesterday.
I do, too. I think Russell should have said that. I believe if... of course, Wilbur never goes on those things, but I don't believe he will... he will not say that he shared in the decision, but he will certainly say that he was fully consulted about it, because that's perfectly clear. Now, I think Russell's maybe I'm viewing him a little more charitably, but I think he's trying to make noises like a fellow that's waiting to hear, a judge that's waiting to hear the trial before he makes up his mind. But my own hunch is that when the chips are down, Mr. President, he's going to help us, and that he's going to vote with us.
What do you hear from the business community? Anything?
No, pretty good.
Much opposition?
No, I think among the knowledgeable fellows that I've talked to about it.
Tom Gates sent us off in that.
Oh, he did fine. Sidney told me that he was with a whole crowd of the Ford people in Philadelphia the next day. Well, that night, actually. They listened to it, and then he was around with them the next day, and he said he was amazed at... Everybody seemed to be relieved.
I wish you'd tell him and ask him what...
He's gone out to Arizona now with his wife.
Oh, yeah.
on a, she's not well at all. She's bad shape. But he went out last week after, I think it was Thursday morning.
I expect maybe we better have Ford in here. I hear a lot of clutter about him being worried about Trade Commission.
I can call Sidney on anything you want him call.
No, I just thought maybe we might just ask him what he knew about it, and if he thought we ought to invite Ford in. We don't want to fall out of Ford. Just tell him, you seen that Scripps Howard article where Ford, big businessman, quit the administration?
When was that, Mr. President?
About a week ago.
I thought he made a speech.
Yeah, this is a Ford speech.
No, sir, I haven't seen that one.
I'll try to get it for you.
All right. I'll call him about it. Sidney said call him on anything.
You think I ought to do any more now about Martin? Do you think I ought to call him or just wait?
No, I think if he's going to call Watson and ask you for an appointment, I think maybe that's probably the best way. I don't know.
I talked to him and told him we ought to get together in the next few days. The night you all asked me to talk to him about that.
I remember.
About that meeting, the night before the meeting, and I said we'll get together as soon as we get the speech out of the way. So I'll wait a day, and if I don't hear, then call him.
I'd be inclined to do that. And he's.
You think if you were me, what you'd do is just say,
I told him, Mr. President, that a month ago this was just a pro forma matter, but with all this talk in the press, you had the natural feelings that anybody would have that you didn't know the source of it, you didn't know whether he was the source of it or his friends were the source of it, and whether your hand was being pushed a bit. I told him that.
And he said he had no connection.
And then he said, well, of course, I had no connection. He said, I think it came... Many places came from the hill, where people up there, and a lot of them are dying to get rid of me. And I said, well, I rather got the impression and had the feeling that there was a 50-50 chance it came from the hill and a 50-50 chance it came from the board, from someplace over in the board, some of your staff people or some of your colleagues or whatnot. And he said, well, I don't know. I know it didn't come from me, because he told me what he told me last week, that he hadn't talked to anybody about it since.
But he told you he didn't think he wanted to continue.
No, he's never come down that hard. He's presented, you know, the reasons for and the reasons against, and he's made it very clear to me that he is personally devoted to you. And that while he recognizes that you have one position on certain policy issues, and that you and I have one position and he has another, that he's personally devoted to you, he really speaks quite warmly. And I'm sure this is, Bill is not a dissembler on things like this. He's about as the least capable of it, of anybody I've ever seen. And I would bet my hat that he talks this way to other people. that he personally have become very devoted to you, and would and he goes out of his way to say that of course whatever happens, I want to